WOMC HD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast. CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Laurie Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with Chandler David Watson. Tracy McBurney's Incredible Energy Consciousness. Mikhail Mir's Financial Consciousness. And nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with Quantum Physics and Consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
And good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul. And today we have, again this month, we have Marvin Oka and Grant Sisalu from M-Braining. We had some time change differences that caused some minor problems back in March. So we're having them on for a second show in May to allow them to offer their incredible teachings. I'm not really laughing at them. We already just did a show, so we're kind of coming into the next one at the same time. But we're going to talk a little bit about, well, we're going to start with forgiveness, and I think that's a nice place to start. If you want more information about Grant and Marvin, go to their website, mbraining.com. They're also coming to Toronto in July. If you're interested in actually learning how to become a practitioner and offering this as a coaching, this is an excellent opportunity. I think this is the only time they're coming into North America, at least this year. So Toronto in July. If you want it for more information, do go to their website and branding. All right, welcome back.
And great, thanks.
Thanks to be back.
So quickly, right?
Yeah.
Seems
we have
like
to stop
just
meeting
the,
like this. Yeah.
Just today that we were.
Yeah.
We were
it's funny how that works.
Of course, over in Australia, it actually has just turned into a new day because we've just passed midnight.
There you go.
That's the night. That's right.
Yeah, so actually, technically, we are here in a new day with you, Laurie.
Perfect. So let's start off with, I think this is a topic that a lot of people, it's interesting because one, I think relationships are our biggest core learning process. And with that, because relationships are in everything, whether it's our personal life or our career or, our friends and family, relationships are kind of the core basis of how we grow and evolve. And when we have problems there, the biggest thing that we need to work on is forgiveness. And it's forgiveness for ourselves, not just for the people in our lives, but probably even more so for ourselves. So I think forgiveness is a great topic to sort of start the show with.
Yeah, most certainly. And as you mentioned, Laurie, relationships are not only such a major part of our life, but they also are a major part of the way we define ourselves as well. We often define who we are and develop our self-concept in the context of how people relate to us and how we relate to others. And it's particularly challenging because when we are in a relationship that we obviously that we really care about, obviously the heart is very much involved. The heart intelligence is involved as it's responsible for the prime functions of deep emotions, core values, and obviously how we feel about each other, or what we call relational affect. However, when something happens in the relationship where trust is broken, for instance, or someone, your partner has they may have cheated on you, or whatever it might be, where there's been some boundary violations, there's been a lot of hurt that's involved, it's not just the heart that now gets involved. What also gets involved is the gut intelligence. And remembering now that the prime functions of the gut have to do with core identity, safety and protection, or self-preservation, as we like to call it, and mobilization, the capacity to act or not act. And so when something happens in a relationship that is of such a magnitude that it violates a trust area or violates our boundaries, the gut gets involved because, A, we now start taking it personally. It starts to affect our core identity. Because as we said, relationships is part of how we define ourselves. We start to now go into a fear and protection response. and we feel that we now need to defend because something has been a boundary has been violated for us. And we start to now take whatever actions we do out of all that. So now the heart and the gut are involved. And that was one of the first really big insights that Grant and I had when we started to look at this whole issue around forgiveness, is that so much of it, so many times when people have a hard time trying to forgive someone, most of the time they were trying to do it via their head and their heart. They're trying to do it of how to find a forgiveness as an emotion and how to let go of the anger and the hurt from the heart. And they're trying to come up with all sorts of good stories and rationales from the head to try and convince the heart to forgive. But when we start to find role models of people who actually have done some forgiveness, and we're talking about not just your every day, oh, you know, someone cheated on me and I need to now forgive them type of forgiveness, but some very serious issues around forgiveness, around real boundary violations. And they were able to do it. We, you know, Grant and I said, well, wait a minute, what's going on there? And we found something quite fascinating. And to cut to the chase, that the majority of forgiveness requires the gut, that forgiveness is a function of the gut. And you hear it in people's language where they say things like, I just have to be able to let go of something. Well, that is a gut concern, not as much a heart concern. Now, some of the people we looked at to do this, I'll give you two examples of two remarkable people. One is a gentleman named Ken Marsloo, who lives in Sydney, Australia. Ken is just an amazing, amazing man. He would be my ultimate example of someone who walks his talk. And you'll see why as you start to hear his story. Ken is a very, he's been featured on 60 Minutes. He's been in Australia. He's been featured in magazine articles just simply because his story is so remarkable. Ken is a very proud, classic Australian male. A very proud man, and he had his only son, and obviously proud of his only son as anything could be. Well, one day he gets the news, that the very tragic news, that his son was working a part-time job in a pizza store, in a pizza takeaway place, and there was a botched robbery, and his son was shot dead. And so, obviously, Ken's only son, his offspring that would carry on the family name, and being a proud Australian male, this was devastating, absolutely devastating to Ken. And it wasn't just devastating. For our listeners that are familiar with the grief cycle, after the shock and the denial, went into also wild rage and anger. So much so that Ken actually took out, he found some contacts in Australia, and he took out a contract. He took out a hit contract on all of the criminals. Oh, I think there were four of them that robbed the store. And at some point, he realized, again, it wasn't right away. He got some mentoring about the second gentleman I'll talk about as well, a gentleman named Sandy McGregor. But he's being mentored by Sandy McGregor, and Ken realized that the insane, senseless, stupid violence that took the life of his son was about to do the very same thing. And when he realized that he was about to perpetuate the same violence that took away the life of his son, he went out, he canceled the contract on the criminals, and he set up a foundation. Talk about someone who comes from a place of compassion and then creativity, of his highest expressions. He then channeled his energy into creating a not-for-profit organization called Enough is Enough, which is an anti-violence organization, anti-violence society, where they run anti-violence programs in schools. They do mentoring with people in prisons. They do a range of things to be able to spread the message of nonviolence in society. And so he's running this not-for-profit organization based on creating anti-violence campaigns. And who does he then mentor? He mentors in prison. He mentors the guy who shot his son.
Wow.
And he mentors him for the length of that person's prison term. Now, the guy that shot his son had no real family, no real friends, etc. So when he got out of prison, it was Ken who went to pick him up. And Ken not only picked him up, Ken offered him a job in his not-for-profit organization. Now, Ken was not, as he'll say, that he hasn't reached the place of total forgiveness, but what he has done is he's let go of the hate, because he realized that the hate was poisoning him. And he had to let go. He had to let go of it because, and if you listen to his language, this is very classic when people are doing real forgiveness. He said he had to let go so he could move on with his life. And that's gut-brain language, because the gut's responsible for mobilization. And it's true, as long as he held the injustice at a level of his own core identity, something was done to him, and it was a violation of boundaries, as long as he held on to that at the gut level, he could not forgive. He could not let go. But when he did, when he was able to let it go at the gut level, he let go of, in his words, he let go of the hate, then he was able to do the remarkable things that he did. And again, he's the ultimate icon for walking the talk. For someone who preaches anti-violence or non-violence, and then for him to be able to do this with the very person who killed his only son, that is remarkable.
That's amazing.
It is. Now, equally amazing was the man who mentored Ken. And I know him as well, and his name is Sandy McGregor. Sandy McGregor is a bona fide, literal Vietnam War hero. You know, from is Australia. He's an Australian citizen, and in Vietnam, he was awarded a Heroes Medal. He did amazing things in Vietnam of rescuing people. You know, laying in ditches for days at a time, crawling through tunnels to get people out. Just amazing stuff. Well, Sandy, one day, he had three beautiful daughters, and Sandy and his wife went out to dinner one night to celebrate their anniversary. And of course, when he got home. Well, when he got home, he finds police cars everywhere, a place barricaded. What was happening? So he got in, and only to find all three of his daughters murdered. It happened that his oldest daughter had just broken up with her boyfriend, and the boyfriend went nuts, came over and shot them all. Now, Sandy got to a place of total forgiveness. Sandy got to a place where he completely let this go. And he found a much more higher purpose and spiritual calling in all of it, and he came at it from a very different level of consciousness. But once again, Sandy too had to let it go, not just at the level of heart, but had to let it go at the level of gut.
Wow. Yeah, we're going to go to our first break. Boy, this is an interesting way to end the first break. Holy. You are listening to Intuitive Soul with Marvin Oka and Grant Susilu, and we're talking about mbraining.com. This is some powerful stuff, so I'm looking forward to hearing what happens after the break. You're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Feng Shui for the Soul. CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries. NewSkyRadio.com.
We're not in heaven. Leaving me in a black winged bird. I think of flying down in your sea of pins and feathers. All of the instruments of faith and sex and God in the belly of a black winged bird. Don't try to feed me, cause I've been here before and I deserve a little more.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back. You're listening to Intuitive Soul with Marvin Oka and Grant Susilu from mbraining.com. We are talking about forgiveness, some very fascinating stories of two situations that come up and how obviously they needed to bring in one area that I think we probably have completely not thought of ever being part of the forgiveness process. So I this is fascinating. I can understand it now that I've gone through a process, but I don't think I would have ever thought that you needed to go to your gut for forgiveness. So please continue.
Yeah, so the major lessons out of those two stories, and we've built it into a forgiveness technique there in our MBIT techniques, in an area we call the MBIT toolkit, which is basically a whole grab bag of different tools to be able to work with different issues ranging from forgiveness or breaking through, or pushing through fear or whatever it might be. And with this one, one of the things is it's not just about feeling forgiveness in the heart. It actually is about an identity issue that you have to now let this go so it doesn't become a part of you. The injustice is no longer done to you and you're carrying it still. And to be able to then let it go, because the value that's in play, that's required for this, is actually one that combines compassion for self and compassion for others, again, as part of the highest expressions. So one is the whole notion of, as both Ken and Sandy said in their stories, they had to let this go. They had to forgive because by not forgiving, by holding on to the hate, by holding on to the resentment, by holding on to the sense of injustice, it was poisoning them. Their life was now at effect, and worse effect. And so it was really a sense of having a higher value on oneself, one's own life, having compassion for self was the motivating reason to let that go. And from there, they could actually then start to develop compassion for others. Grant, could you relate the story about your friend in New Zealand that's gone through a major life change and how she's been dealing with the highest expressions to forgive?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a friend who has just recently gone through a major relationship breakup and in quite a surprising and shocking way, where her partner came home and of 15 years and said, I found somebody else, I'm leaving. And there was no indication at all that this was likely to happen. But she's been working with Marvin and I and learning the MBIT, the embraining processes. So she immediately continued to do the sorts of experience, Laurie, that Marvin guided you through in the last session of going to the compassion, creativity and courage. And in less than 5 weeks, she's gone through, her whole life has been turned upside down, but she's been coming at it from a place for herself and her partner, or ex-partner now, of compassion, creativity and courage. And she's moved through to be able to really... as she said, be the highest expression of herself. And it's made such a huge difference for her.
You know, as I think about relationships and the problems that usually happen, and we don't just have to talk about our personal, intimate relationships. I mean, we usually have, when we want to have a job change, it's usually because of something that's going on at work. A lot of people that, may not be in personal relationships will then have, the dynamics play out in some other area in their lives. So a lot of times there are a lot of work difficulties, and probably because we spend a huge majority of our time, if we are employed, at the workplace. So we have the same people around us all the time. So as we know, we grow mostly through our relationships. And the biggest thing when people come to me, and obviously when they come to you and Marvin and Oak and Grant, the biggest thing is that we identify with what the problem is, and that's what you're saying, that's the gut. We think it's something personal, and it doesn't matter how often you can try and say, but it's not personal. when something big happens like this, it's hard not to see it as personal, yet it really has nothing to do with us.
Yes, that's right.
right? Like, it nothing at all to do with us. It's always whatever the other person is going through. We react to it, so we may be co-creating it. We certainly may be responsible for how we react in our lives, but it's not personal. And that's, I guess, the most important piece to try and understand, and that's where the gut comes in, clearly from what you're saying.
Yeah, very much so. And if you think on the flip side as well, how can something happen where you don't take it personally? And there's a couple of strategies in play. So one is you could just deny.
that doesn't work either.
Not exactly the healthiest strategy. But the other way is if you're really actually quite present to the situation and still not going to take it personally, one is you'll have, obviously, your head will have whatever thoughts it has about it. Your heart can actually go through whatever emotions it has about it, but your gut remains unaffected. Your core identity still stays strong. The boundaries, the safety and protection mechanisms stay strong, so the boundaries recognize, well, that's what's happening out there or for the other person. That's not to do with me, and that's the boundary issue that is maintained at that level. And so there's no need to actually take action to defend or to attack or whatever it might be, because it's not about you at that point. Even though your head might be saying whatever it does and your heart might not like what's going on, but you still don't have to take it personally. And that's the power of it, having the intelligence, the awareness of these multiple intelligences that are within you. You know, I remember a while back I had that straight capacity to check in with the three brains makes such a difference. I had an issue. I think I may have related this story in a previous show, that I was really, someone had done something and I was really angry at the person, and I was my head was coming up with all this lovely story about how it was a values violation, and they violated my boundaries, etc., and my heart was saying it's a values thing, so that's what it felt like anyway. So I took several deep breaths as the balanced breathing process, and I checked in. I just simply checked in with all three of my intelligences. And my head was running amok with this story about how it's just all terrible. My heart actually really cared for the person and wanted to stay connected, and actually, you know, really cared, really just wanted to stay connected and really felt for the person. And my gut was fine. My gut was saying, well, different strokes for different folks. You're okay. You're not physically attacked. You know, all is fine. They're just doing their thing. At which point I realized, well, wait a minute. My heart cares for the person. My gut is fine. It's saying different strokes for different folks. It's just my head going crazy. I went, well, isn't that interesting? At which point I quickly got off it.
Right, which is tough to do because our head sort of rules in normal everyday life, because that's what we're used to. That's where we go. I mean, everything in the world is kind of motivated by what we think and how we analyze and how we try to understand things and our education system. And, you know, it's all based on our mental capacities.
Yeah, exactly. We're very much in a head and gut driven world. But the thing is, as you rightfully say, that the head just overrides the other ones. But one of the first skills in MBIT is to recognize, well, that's not the only voice you need to listen to. There's two others that are equally as important.
Yeah.
And I'd like to jump in here with saying that it's also being able to learn and notice what autonomic mode, what mode your autonomic nervous system is operating in, whether you're in sympathetic or parasympathetic or balanced dominance, because the states and the competencies that your three brains can produce are really different from a sympathetic or stressed state versus a parasympathetic or, you know, a low energy or depressed state. You just can't think in the same ways or process in the same ways at the head, heart and gut level from those different modes. And that's another really powerful distinction and skill that MBIT brings.
Right, because it allows you to balance out.
Yeah, because from a balanced mode, you can get to places like compassion and creativity and courage. You just can't get to from a stress state or a depressed state. I was at a 10-day Buddhist karma abiding retreat recently, and the High Lama said that it was predominantly focusing on compassion for this particular 10 days. And he said, If you want to bring compassion to any experience, the first thing you must do is bring calmness. You must bring that balance point. He said if you are trying to do compassion from a stress state, it will look, you'll think you're doing compassion, it'll look something like compassion, but it won't be, and it'll be what Buddhists call dumb compassion. You'll actually probably make things worse. He said it's like having a bath with no water. You take off your clothes and you hop in the bath and you grab the bar of soap and you rub it around and you do all the movements and motions of a bath. You get out, you're not going to be clean. You're not going to have had the relaxation and comfort. What was missing was the water, the warm water that allows you to truly have a bath. And he said, well, compassion is like that. You need that balanced calmness, which is not about being low energy and depressed, and it's not about being frenetic and stressed. And until you can bring this balance point, you actually can't do compassion.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's just a different way of looking at things. We're not, if you're not aware, obviously, if you're not conscious of how things can work for you instead of against you, you're just kind of going through your motions, right? So it's
right.
It's fascinating because it's obviously really important, and it's a huge piece that you're sort of bringing to the world that I'm not sure anyone else out there is really recognizing this piece, because it's such a huge piece in you know, bringing us back into a state of balance. And it's funny that, you know, we can go through these things and our gut is remaining so neutral. It's almost like we always thought it was our heart that was neutral, yet our heart, of course, is all about feeling. So it's all about compassion and love for everybody. So it is neutral in that sense, but it's not quite the same as the gut.
Yeah, that's right. They have different functions. And,
right.
And so it's not the same, but the fact that we now know this, it brings tremendous awareness and precision as to understanding a lot of these issues that have vexed us in the past.
Right. And of course, now that you know it, it will start coming out into the world. So more and more people will start understanding it and seeing it. But it's fascinating that you've come up with this, you know, piece that's just so huge. Anyway, we're going to go to our next break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul. We have Marvin Oka and Grant Sisalu, and you can find more information about them on their website, mbraining.com. They also have a conference coming up in Toronto to teach you how to become a practitioner and a coach on mbraining. So if that interests you, do connect with them on their website, mbraining.com, or come to mine, intuitivesoul.com. I will have information as well on that. And we're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries. CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul. Today we have Marvin Oka and Grant Sisalu, and they are from mbraining.com. They have really kind of brought together some, integration of the three brains, which is our heart, our mind, and our gut. And we've been talking about forgiveness, which is such a huge piece in relationships. And I know that Grant has a story that he'd like to share about relationships. So please go.
Thanks, Lori. One of the things I wanted to share was when it comes to relationships with people that you are deeply connected with, that is romantic relationships, family relationships, especially when we're talking about the gut and gut reactions and that gut level experience of what those relationships mean, and therefore why sometimes you feel so violated when things aren't working, when somebody does something that might hurt you at a heart level, but then you feel it at a deep gut level and leads to the need for forgiving at not just the head and heart level, but forgiving deep at the gut level. That if you only forgive at the head and heart, often you'll find that this problem, you think you've forgiven them, but then it comes back up again.
And over and over again.
It's like you regurgitate the whole experience, right?
Yeah.
And it's not surprising that it comes back up, because it's coming up from the gut level, right? Which is that sort of regurgitating, almost, that sort of vomiting it back up, because your gut hasn't let go. And one of the reasons why in really close relationships this occurs is because at a deep gut level, when we meet somebody and we fall in love with them, part of that attraction and connection of love is actually a gut-based experience. That is, it turns out that our gut is responsible for about 80% of our immune function. And so, the gut brain, the enteric brain, is really important to your immune function. And your immune function does monitoring of self and not self and good self and bad self. And your immune cells go around making sure that, you keep your body as doing the right function of selfing, we might say. And so when you fall in love, one of the first things you want to do is you want to actually start, getting close to the person, and then you want to kiss the person. And it's amazing, because this kissing is across so many different cultures, nearly all of them, are the rubbing noses or kissing, which is actually a way of your immune function being shared with the other person. So when you share saliva, it's actually your taste buds are the end point of your gut brain. So it's actually you want to taste the other person. And we express, we have expressions like, oh, that, if you see an attractive person, you go, oh, that person's really tasty. And that experience is, or the relationship is really tasty. And so it actually turns out that the chemical attraction between people is a relation of how compatible their immune systems are together. It's called the histocompatibility complex. And people who have a very compatible immune system with you that would work well so that if you had children, you had progeny, they would actually have a stronger immune system, are more attractive to you. So they literally taste better to you. And this is why mothers like to kiss children, because it turns out babies and share food with babies, because it turns out that the bacteria in the baby's gut comes from the mother. Once the baby's gut is inoculated with the mother's gut bacteria, and we need our gut bacteria because it helps us digest food and it helps us keep our immune system working properly. And the gut is one of the first points of protection against external pathogens. Excuse me. And so this is why we have such an oral fixation in romance and with our babies, because it actually is our gut brains tasting and connecting at a gut level with these people that we're close and intimate with. And in a sense, our gut brains feel that that person has become an extension of you, which is why we feel at such a deep gut level when a relationship is transgressed, when the person does something that hurts at a heart level, but it goes more than a heart level gate. Actually, you feel it in your gut. And if you're attuned to it, you'll find that, you know, if somebody who's just an acquaintance friend says something to you that could be hurtful, well, you'll feel that hurt at some sort of head and heart level. At the head level, you might be a bit peeved, think it isn't right. At the heart level, you might feel a bit of annoyance, maybe a little bit of anger in your heart, but you won't feel it at a gut level. In fact, you know, in language, we have these things called what's called scatological marking. So, you know, animals scat to mark their boundaries. So they will wee or they'll poo. They'll poop around the boundaries to put their scat, to put their which is basically an extension of what's coming out of their gut brains to say, this is me, this is my identity, this is my boundaries. And if somebody is really peeing you off, it's because they've gone beyond just angering you. So if somebody who's your family member, the person you love, says exactly the same thing as a stranger, you feel beyond just a head and heart level. You actually feel it viscerally deep in your gut. It's like, you know, you hear the expression pulling a knife out of your gut. It's like I was knifed in the gut, because you feel it at a deep gut level of somebody who is, in a sense, part of you, hurts you. And this is why in relationships, the closest relationships, you really must bring that forgiveness down to a gut level, or it will keep coming back up.
Okay, so, I mean, I know people can listen to the show that we did prior to this that was on a process, so if you're wondering how part of that process can work, you can do that. But, I mean, if it's so keyed into our identity, then it really would be difficult to not take it personal.
Correct.
Like really, really difficult if we're now seeing this person as part of our identity.
Yeah, and then they come home and say, that's it, I'm off, I found someone else.
Yeah.
Goodbye. And you didn't have any indication there was even a challenge in your relationship. Yeah. Everything was going wonderful.
And people will say, I just felt like I got kicked in the guts.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, no, I go with the knife one more often than the kick. Sometimes the heart, but a lot of times it's the gut, Yeah.
Depending, and it will be an indication of how that's being represented in your three brains. You know, if the relationship is one that is a core identity relationship, goes beyond just values and goes, you know, deeply to who you truly are as a person, that relationship's that important, it will be like a knife in the gut.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, interestingly, the story of my friend is that if you use these, the highest expression processes that we covered in the last program, and that you can read about in our book, Embraining, and on our website we have freely downloadable exercises in MP3 that will guide you through some of these processes. You actually can learn to take yourself to the highest expression of self, to bring yourself back to balance, and then feed compassion, creativity, and courage through your three brains in a way that they do align. And then you can let go of that hurt, not just at a head and heart level, but a deep gut level, and heal the relationships or move on, depending on what the situation actually is.
Because ultimately, even though we may have identified and we may have brought them into our gut, I mean, they aren't. You know, I mean, from a higher perspective, from, you know, our soul perspective, they may be an important piece of our lives, but they're not who we are. And that's ultimately what we get to when we do the process, I'm assuming, is that, you know, from the highest expressions, we can begin to identify that they're not who we are. Who we are is still, you know, the pure, innocent, and compassionate being that is part of the higher being that we are.
Yeah, there's a interesting paradox that happens with that. And it's a good paradox. It's one is there is that. There's the, on one side, you know, there's a difference between who we are and who they are. And, you know, at the end of the day, if we've got a stronger spiritual connection, that, you know, at the end of the day, we're still safe in our being. And then another level, on the other side, at the same time, what happens when you do MBIT well, coming from the highest expressions, is you realize that more at a spiritual level than say, an endocrine or chemical level, is that we actually are spiritually also one as well.
Well, yeah, that's true.
And there is that. So the compassion then starts to recognize that compassion for others is the same as compassion for self, and vice versa. And so the paradoxes, they're not mutually exclusive. Both seeming contradictions are held at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the bit where the mind sort of gets in the way. You know, 'cause
yeah, exactly.
It's the mind that wants to try and understand everything from such a, you know, deep level. It gets all caught up when it's not easily explainable from...
Yeah.
Because there are, as you say, both are there without any congruencies. I mean, it's still what is.
That's right. And even if someone has you know, identified a relationship and then something happens in the relationship where it feels like a, you know, an identity contradiction or identity conflict that happens, it's important to remember that each of these neural networks are neural networks. They're brain. They're adaptive neural networks. What's being responded to is how the neural networks have patterned and how they've stored things and what memories are associated to it. But as adaptive neural networks, they can also learn. They also learn and grow and adapt and evolve. And so this is how, you know, if we've taken on someone as part of our core identity in the relationship, and if something happens, well, the neural networks can learn and evolve and recognize that, well, yeah, that's how it's taken it on. That doesn't mean that neural pattern has to stay. You know, we could let that go and adopt new neural patterns.
Wow. That's perfect. How adaptable we are, right?
That's right.
All right, we're going to go to our last break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul. We have Marvin Oka and Grant Sisulu. You can find out more information about them at mbraining.com. Check out their website. They have lots of information. They also have a workshop coming up. If you are interested in this work and you want to become a coach in this work, the first North American tour, I believe, is going to be in Toronto, and it's coming in July. So if this interests you and I find it fascinating, then find out more information about them at mbraining.com. All right, we're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help.
Life's a game. Win. Call and get advice from today's top coaches that are here to help you run a business, offer legal advice, enrich your relationships, or guide you on the right career path. Our coaches are expert professionals in their field to help you win the game of life. Listen to Coach Me Radio, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m.
When I think of heaven, it's never me in a black wing bird. I think of flying down and you'll see your pins and feathers and all of the instruments of faith and sex and God in the belly of a black winged bird. So try to feed me, 'cause I've been here before and I deserve a little more. I'm alone in the service of the queen. I belong.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul. Today we have Marvin Oka and Grant Susilu. We've been talking about forgiveness and relationships from an M-braining perspective or an M-bit perspective. And if you want more information about the work that Marvin and Grant do, please go to their website, mbraining.com, or buy their book, M-braining. Or you can even attend a workshop that they're offering in July in Toronto to become a coach in M-braining. So we've been talking about relationships. We've been talking about forgiveness. From the perspective that I always look at, you know, I try to help people see that they're not, it's not personal. And that obviously is something that I've now kind of, my radar is now up for, you know, how it's connecting, I guess, to their gut, because that seems to be, you know, the big piece that that people may have done but have not understood how or why they've done it. Because, as you say, most of the time we're coming mostly from our head or from our heart, and that's not going to help us. I mean, our heart may help us have compassion for the person. So if we're coming from a higher expression, it may, you know, help us come have compassion, and our head may help us come up with, you know, really creative ways to sort of see that it's really not personal. So we may come up with these, but from a gut level, this, you know, this is the piece that I'm so fascinated with, because it's so different from anything that we've understood or now my intuition is partly from my gut and I don't
yes.
not I mean, I realize that quite clearly, but at the same time I don't know that, you know, that I've ever focused on, you know, that identity coming from your gut. I never think of that, so I'm just so fascinated by this.
Yeah, your gut intuitions and your heart intuitions are different types of intuitions, and they're different. Their intuitions about different things. So you know, you can have a heart intuition about, for instance, about what might be going on for someone because of your capacity to have a strong relational affect with them, or your capacity to appreciate what someone might be feeling, etc. Which is very different than a gut intuition about someone that says don't trust them, which is a protection issue.
Right.
And so these are different types of intuition. It's also really important to remember too that all three are required. You know, the head, heart, and gut are all required for optimal functioning of the total person. But two things need to be in play for this to work well. One is, as we've been talking about, the person needs to be in a state of autonomic coherence, so that they're neither stressed nor depressed, so that each of these intelligences can function in their optimum ways. And ideally, they can function at their highest expressions. And secondly, the sequence in which these brains are accessed can make a huge difference as well. And it's often very useful to first start with the heart. And from a autonomically coherent highest expression state of the heart, let that then influence the kinds of thoughts the head will create. And let that then encourage the gut to act on those more authentic ways of expressing oneself.
Right. You know, as you were talking, it's funny because, you know, when I often go to my heart when I try to become really clear and get into intuition. But it's, you know, from the heart perspective, everything's wonderful, right? From the heart perspective, life is perfect, and, you know, stop trying to, you know, you don't need to change anything. From a heart perspective, everything comes from love and compassion and beauty. It's not the everyday stuff that you get heart information. That's where you get your gut intuition. Or your mind as well. But I mean, for the everyday, how to incorporate them into your life, how to bring the compassion down to actually have the courage to follow through with things, you really, really need to bring your gut into it.
Yeah, absolutely. The gut's about doing. It's what's going to get you into doing. It'll get you about integration into self as well. So we often say at MBIT that true integration is a function of the gut brain. Unless the gut assimilates any changes into your identity, well, then it's not integrated. So.
Yeah, and you hear this, Laurie, in expressions like, you know, I need to digest that new experience. And people literally use a word like digest.
Right. Yeah. It's just, it's interesting because it's not, and I keep saying this, but it's not in the world yet. Like, it's not the everyday, you know, we're starting to come to a heart place. And I think, you know, that's a huge piece of this because, as you say, you know, you need to come from the heart first or, or we're going to think about cheating. We're not going to bring the compassion in. So our mind's going to think of ways to, you know, to test, to always, it's always about testing limits if it's not coming from compassion, right? That's what our head does, is it comes up with different ways to test it, to push, to and so it's just a different way of looking that I'm just so excited about because it seems so new to me.
Well, yeah, and it's continually new to us too. As we explore more and more about what the implications are, what new findings are, and again, from behavioral modeling research, we start looking at how these things play out in real applications, in real life, and we're constantly finding new things that's just wildly exciting.
Yeah. Well, it must be, I mean, with the examples you started off with and talking to these people, I mean, it must have been amazing to see how it, you know, came together in a way that, you know, the gut was necessary for forgiveness. Because, again, that's just not something that is on our radars.
Yeah, that was kind of a bit of news.
Yeah.
that was wow, look at that. Yeah,
it must have been fun, but at the same time, kind of, I mean, it, obviously you got them at the point where they'd already gone through their forgiveness piece, but wow, I mean, those are huge stories, all three of them. I mean, it's hard to come from a higher expression.
Yeah, that's right.
When something so dramatic has happened.
Yeah, well, we've got other stories. Especially around courage from the gut.
Yeah, courage.
Yeah.
That's the one. I mean, it's not the one, but it's the one that helps us get, I guess, out of the head of, because it's our head that's always, you know, worrying about everything. It's the head that's stressed. It's the head that brings up all the stories.
Yeah, the head can create a lot of stories, and again, the sequence counts. If the gut is gone into a sympathetic mode and a fear-based reaction defense mode, and it sends the signals up to the head, well, the head's going to interpret that with a whole bunch of panicky thoughts, you know, and high-stress thoughts, which then starts freaking out the heart, you know, which then further perpetuates the unease in the gut, and again, you get this vicious cycle starting to occur. Which is very different than starting from the heart and saying, what values do I want to be coming from? And let my head come up with thoughts to support that, and let me have the courage to act from there. That's a very different sequence.
Yeah. And, you know, the values, I mean, a lot of times our values are obvious to other people, not so obvious to us. And our beliefs are the same, but our core values, we generally have, you know, an idea of what we want is a higher expression. We don't always look at what our lower expression values are.
Yeah, and there's several other kinds of distinctions as well. There's different types of values that are in play. You can have aspirational values, things, you know, that are important to you that you'd like to achieve. And again, these can often be expressed in the term when people have higher values. Grant did some amazing bits of research and insight many years back where he noticed the difference between higher values versus close values. And that's different again.
Sounds like our next show. We're going to be looking at values. That sounds like a good one.
Values that are close to our heart.
That's right. Exactly. Close to our heart. Wow. Okay, well, this has been fascinating. A fascinating day. I've enjoyed both of our shows. I look forward to learning more and more about what M-Braining is all about. So thank you both, Marvin and Grant.
Well, thank you, Laurie.
All right.
Yes, thank you, Laurie. It's been great.
Perfect. You've been listening to Intuitive Soul with Marvin Oka and Grant Sisalu. Please check out their website, mbraining.com. We are on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.